T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
I love the name Kling. Drinkwitz, come on, man. Yeah. Are you kidding me? Who could not like a guy like that?
That just sets up the coach's show perfectly. Drinkwitz. Like, Drinkwitz.
Especially at a school, man. A college school where they drink. Might as well be Chugwitz, right? That's what I'm talking about.
But the plane's been dispatched. That's the latest?
I love planes. Whenever a plane's around. And they had that little smile. Missouri retweeted it. It's got Sturt getting on the plane with that little smile.
It wasn't reporters stalking a plane. It was Mizzou football stalking their own plane.
He got so business done.
It's happening.
I was looking forward to tweets from Columbia about airplane tail numbers. That's a true deal. Jay Binkley, Steven Serta with you. Middays right here, presented by Crossroads Investment Lending, the fix and flip guys at kcland.com. Chiefs get the win. Chiefs get the win. Serta, all is right in the world. Pete and I took 2 hours worth of calls after the game. Most everybody was excited. I didn't know what to expect. I thought we might get a little more Mahomes push, because he didn't have that 300 yards or 400 yards and 4 touchdowns. And again, he did hurt his hand. But the bottom line is, the Chiefs beat the Patriots. This is the game we circled at the beginning of the year. This is the one. This is getting over the hump. This is the reason Andy Reid goes out, Brett Veach, Clark Hunt, Steve Spagnuolo, get over here, man. And this was a Reid deal. He goes out and says, man, I want Spags. I want to reunite the group. I want Brendan Daly, defensive line coach of the Patriots. All right, sit down. Let me put the bright light on you. What do they do? Me get inside the mind of Bill Belichick. But this is the one. And right now, you know, people in New England, the sky's falling. You should have heard WEI. I'll bring some of that. They're mad at the Patriots. They're beside themselves. They don't think the roster construction is built. This team does have 10 wins. Just remind those people out there. They've lost to the Texans, the Ravens, and the Kansas City Chiefs. This one hurt worse than any of them. This game hurt the Patriots worse than any of them because the Chiefs came into their house, where they'd won 21 straight games. And that's the whole thing about it. It is tough to win games in New England. I mean, the Chiefs' luggage mysteriously didn't even get there till an hour and a half before the game. I think that was on the Chiefs. They had a high school football game, right, the night before. And the Chiefs had just forgotten this equipment. And you're thinking, oh, no, this is an omen. Kansas City Chiefs don't have their equipment. What's going on here? And trust me, they weren't going to forfeit this game. They would have found a way to forfeit this game. I haven't seen the numbers yet, but CBS, those numbers had to go through the roof. Anytime you have Tom Brady, or Pat Mahomes is a ratings draw himself, Tom Brady is certainly a ratings draw. And the fact at the end of the game, Tom Brady has a chance, you know, hold on 60 minutes, people are tuned into that game. Ratings had to have been off the chart. They wanted that game. And it came down and delivered exactly what television wants. It was drama. It was intrigue. But it was the Chiefs' defense once again coming through and winning the game. Bashaud Breeland with the play of the year for the Kansas City Chiefs. Tony Romo was hesitant to call it that. He sat there and hesitated. Great, great, great play of the game. He wanted to go play of the year for the Kansas City Chiefs. I felt Romo wanted to go that direction. He held himself back and didn't go that direction. But the bottom line is, and I get it, not all is perfect with this offense. We've been spoiled by a great offense at Kansas City. And again, I do feel like, and bear with me on this, I'm going excuses again. I've been giving him excuses. I gave him excuses in the altitude. I gave him excuses in the wind. And I'll give him a few excuses because of Pat Mahomes' hand. And I look at the quality of defense of the New England Patriots. This is the number one scoring defense in the NFL. Yes, save me the fact they haven't played great teams. They were great against the Houston Texans. They went down there, held them to 250 total yards, whatever it was, real close there, 245. This defense held the ball for 10 more minutes than the Houston Texans did the week before. You know, they're playing NFL games. Everybody is on scholarship in the National Football League. And I get it. We can look at the schedule, but they're still beating NFL-caliber teams. They still are giving up 12 points a game. Chiefs scored 23, you know. They beat that by 11 points as far as what they normally give up. Second quarter, beautiful. More points ever the Patriots gave up in that second quarter than they ever have at Gillette Stadium, since they moved there instead of Foxborough. And I get it, the third quarter, fourth quarter, a little bit different. I do think Andy Reid held back to some extent. This is one area I'd like to see him get more aggressive, kind of put that nail in the coffin. I think there were several put-the-nail-in-the-coffin moments for the Chiefs. They didn't do it. Wanted to see Mahomes go down the field more. Yes, on third down, this team has been so good. Third in the NFL, 47% on third down. They've been good at that. That's been a spot where the Chiefs have been good. Wanted to see him, you know, throw to the sticks. The only guy that they don't throw to the sticks that can still pick up the first down is Tyreek Hill. He's number one. Travis Kelce's number two as far as finding that first down. Hill's the master of it. That guy, just all he does is get first downs. But I didn't feel that they were aggressive on that end. But again, you look at the defense, you look at where they won that game. The Patriots had won 21 straight in Foxborough. This is what we circled. This season was about the quarterbacks that the Chiefs played. You knew Rodgers was on the schedule. You knew Tom Brady was on the schedule. You knew Lamar Jackson was on the schedule. You knew Deshaun Watson was on the schedule. When the schedule first came out, it looked like we'd have Andrew Luck as well. Didn't, of course, face him and played Jacoby Brissett. Kirk Cousins was the player of the month before the Chiefs played him at Arrowhead Stadium. But this was the one. This is the game that Steve Spagnuolo was hired for. What can you do to stop the New England Patriots? It's the reason that Brendan Daly and Matt House and these guys, how can you stop them? Because you're not going forward unless you beat them. You know, the Ravens are kind of the new kids on the block. The Ravens have exceeded expectations. Every year in the NFL's got that one team that exceeds those expectations. And then there's always those teams that fail expectations. But that's a National Football League. Would you rather be here or Houston? Houston's got a problem. They beat the Patriots at home. That's where the wheels start spinning. No, Drew Lock in the second start beat the Houston Texans. So they go from beating the Patriots to losing to Drew Lock and the Denver Broncos in just the second start. Yeah, Drew Lock looks fine. Looks like he's playing well. I think teams will adjust to him and what he's doing. But now he's got to come play the Chiefs. But if you're Houston, you know the whole argument, who the top four teams in the AFC, Houston not living up to that. The Chiefs lived up to it. You know, despite all these things and all the complaining people are doing about the Chiefs, they've won all these games. They beat the Chargers. They nailed the Raiders, hammered them 40-9. Then they go to New England and beat Tom Brady and the New England Patriots. Not only that, the worst scenario was coming. Tom Brady a chance to win the game at the end. Here comes Tom. What do the Chiefs do? They made a play. What would have happened in the past? Tom Brady gets the touchdown. Maybe Belichick, because he really didn't have any trust in Folk. Maybe he goes for two. You know, being at home, maybe he goes for two. Maybe he doesn't. They go to overtime, and the Patriots find a way to win that game. But it didn't happen. Breland knocks the ball down. To me, that was the play of the game, a play of the year for the Kansas City Chiefs because it was done by defense. We should be celebrating this. The fact that defense is winning games for the Chiefs. And now that they got attitude. You know, Chris Jones talking about, you know, we win the games now. I love this. This is the situational flip in attitude you wanted to see from the defense. A defense that pride themselves in actually being able to win games and not having to rely on number 15 to go out and win every single game for them like they'd been doing. Pat Mahomes was the savior. But I figured when you brought in some of these guys, the eight new faces, and you look at the scheme of the Kansas City Chiefs defensively, the change in mindset. It took a while, but it takes a while when you change schemes. But the attitude, the dog in this defense is what you have now. They've had setbacks. They looked great against the Denver Broncos when they got 9 sacks. They looked pretty good against the Packers until the very end, and then they reverted. That last 5 minutes, it was bad. Then they looked good against the Vikings, took a step back. Andy Reid even said they took a step back against Tennessee. Clearly, Derrick Henry ran all over him. But then these last three games, and I think the light bulb really came on the second half of that Chargers game. The Chargers moving the ball at will in that first half. Spagnuolo made adjustments. And this team's got an attitude now, and it's got an attitude. Frank Clark displayed that attitude yesterday. I think Frank Clark stepped up in that Chargers game. He needed to play that game. There was no depth. Frank Clark had to be the man in that game, and he was. Now, I get it. Going against Pipkins, you know, Division II guy, but still playing in the National Football League, was a third-round pick. But he got the job done, and I thought the sentiment started to change towards him. Then he has the hurt shoulder last week, and then he was sick. And then come to find out he spent time in the hospital this week. And then came the tweet, the Michael Jordan sick game tweet. There's Scottie Pippen holding Michael Jordan. At that point, I knew he was playing. I asked Desmond Moses, who played in this league. He joined me on Sunday down at Winning Streaks as we broke down this game. And I said, what's this mean? What's this tweet mean here? And he goes, he's playing. He goes, you see that? He's playing. I guarantee you, he's playing. And he did. And he stepped up, and he played well. That's the New England Patriots. They had to get to Tom Brady. Not only that, some of these numbers about the blitz percentage for the Kansas City Chiefs will blow your mind. We'll get to that in just a minute. But they came, they saw, they did what they had to do. This is nothing but positive, what happened yesterday. The Chiefs got the win. They win the AFC West. This doesn't matter. Clark Hunt, the owner of this team, gave the directive of this team, it's to win the Super Bowl. Like, Clark Hunt doesn't do a whole bunch of talking. You know, that's up to Jerry Jones or Dan Snyder, you know, to do the talking, be the owner out front. That's not Clark Hunt. Clark Hunt gave the directive. The franchise caught the audio at the beginning of the year. The goal is the Super Bowl for this team. You know, winning the AFC West, it didn't really matter to the people that called in yesterday, and it shouldn't have mattered. You got bigger fish to fry. It's like Kansas that keeps winning the Big 12 every year in basketball. It doesn't matter to them. The only thing that matters to them is going to the Final Four. The Chiefs have gotten to this point. The Patriots don't even care about going to the Super Bowl now. They only care if they go to the Super Bowl and win it. That's the kind of winning mentality that you get. But you already see what happens. You know, Alex Smith was part of this. This four straight division titles. Pat Mahomes is part of this. And this thing is not changing anytime soon. The Chiefs can grab a hold of this division and dominate this division and be the team. They just need to be the team in the AFC. And they prove that by going on the road and beating up the big bad bully. Not only did the Chiefs win that game, and I get it, they were fortunate calls for the Kansas City Chiefs, but don't cry for me, New England. You get calls all the time. This is football. This is what happens. The officiating is terrible. Make no mistake about it, the Patriots got screwed a couple times. But you know what? The Chiefs got screwed a couple times. Winovich put his full body on Pat Mahomes when making a sack. Should have been flagged. Pat Mahomes was thrown into the ice chest. Should have been a flag. Tom Brady gets that call. It goes both ways. Stop crying. Rex Ryan this morning on ESPN. Get up. Summed it up perfectly.
Why don't we just change the whole rules because New England got messed up? I'm sorry, but give me a break. Cry me a river. Man, New England's never had a break. Oh, please, give me a break. I mean, we're not changing the rules or anything else. Yeah, was there some mistakes? Absolutely, and I loved it for one.
But the bottom line is the Chiefs did what they had to do, and that's beat the New England Patriots. That was the offseason plan. That was the directive. To get over to him, you got to beat that team. Not only that, they're probably going to play that team again and beat them once again.
Well, and this isn't the same Patriots team. Like, I still have questions about both of these football teams moving forward, but the Chiefs won on the back of their defense yesterday, which is something that's strange to us considering it's supposed to be the offense that carries this team to a Super Bowl. And I understand the Patriots are one of the best defenses in the NFL. They proved that yesterday, and the Chiefs were still able to put up points against them. But I still have a lot of question marks about both of these teams moving forward. And I have no doubt that if they do see each other again in the playoffs, it's going to be a very different football game because Belichick is going to have something for Andy Reid.
He will. Belichick always finds a way to flip the script in the postseason, become a different team. He did it last year. It was all about pressures during the regular season. Then it became about sacks for the New England Patriots. You know, they were giving up a ton of yards per carry. What, 4.9 per carry? In the postseason, the Chargers, Chiefs, and Rams only 120 combined rushing yards against that team. The Patriots were giving up 113 yards a game last year and then gave up just 120 in the entire postseason. Not only that, they ran the ball for 160 yards a game. You know, they do change when it gets to money time. Money time is the playoff time. That is the only time that matters. But they got issues, man. Losing at home, the Chiefs won in 2017. They set the tempo in New England, Gillette Stadium right there, last AFC team, and they beat them twice there. It's the only AFC team to beat them since 2017 at Gillette. Then the Panthers came in a couple weeks later and beat them. Patriots actually lost two at home that season. But this was the game, and we should be happy. Here's the thing, Serta. I know that it's not in the style. The Chiefs didn't line up the scoreboard. There was no 42-27 win over the Patriots. But the bottom line is, they got the W. And in the grand scheme of things, that's the only thing we're going to remember. The Chiefs and Andy Reid beat the New England Patriots. This is what matters. Not only that, last year by losing to them in the title game, prolonged the inevitable. It prolonged the inevitable. How much longer is Tom Brady going to go? How effective is the Brady? And we see the dysfunction. We started to see it this season. We definitely saw it in the Houston Texans game where Brady's throwing the football and the receivers aren't doing what he wanted them to do. for so long, people have, like Troy Brown, Deion Branch, these guys knew exactly where Brady was going to throw the football. Randy Moss, Wes Welker, these guys knew exactly. Edelman's the only guy on that team that can forecast, all right, what Brady's going to do. He's like inside the mind of Tom Brady. The rest of them just can't get there. And he throws the football and guys aren't there, and it's frustrating Tom Brady. But I believe when the Patriots beat the Chiefs in the postseason, you know, everybody was ready to pour dirt on the New England Patriots had they lost that game. It was going to be Tom Brady's too old, washed up, he's going. I mean, here's the thing. This dude's a free agent after this year. Is this dynasty coming to the end? I mean, that's the thing. Get this dynasty over. You never know in the NFL if teams can sustain this. Look at the Rams. They had a great thing going last year, and I know they pounded the Seahawks last night. Still a 7-win team, but they went to the Super Bowl last year. Sean McVay was everybody's All-American. Sean McVay could do no wrong. Everybody wanted Sean McVay. But they've taken a step back. Jared Goff has taken a step back this year. There's no guarantees in the NFL. There's no guarantees on health either. We've seen Mahomes banged up this year. What happens if Lamar Jackson gets banged up? That's his whole game, just being so versatile in what he does. But he only threw for 145 yards yesterday, but he ran the ball. He's an effective player. But what happens if he gets hurt, just like Mahomes? Do they have that other guy that can sustain it? What you do is you have to build up your football team to be able to sustain it if your quarterback's hurt, like the Chiefs were able to do to some extent with Matt Moore. That's what makes you an all-around football team. When that defense steps up, you can't be a one-trick pony and only the offense. You have to have the defense step up. And we saw the defense step up and actually win games. This should make us happy. You know, two of the next three games, at home, against the AFC West. Andy Reid has dominated the AFC West. He's beaten the Broncos 8 straight times. They haven't beaten the Chiefs since Manning. And don't forget, the last time the Chiefs played the Broncos, they were feeling good about themselves. They'd won a couple of games. Chris Harris wasn't complaining, saying he wants out on the next thing smoking. Von Miller was actually doing press conference instead of little 20-second deals because he was mad at the beginning of the year. They've had dysfunction from coaches not trusting Vic Fangio. And I don't like the way he's handled Drew Lock, to be quite honest with you. I think that team is still needs another head coach in offensive mind to go with Drew Lock, because Fangio's not the guy to me. I can see some friction there. And look at this. Joe Flacco was on the other side of the sideline. All the other quarterbacks, they're Drew Lock. That's not teamwork. That's not being a team. There's just dysfunction there. 10 out of 11 times they've beaten the Chargers. 10 out of 11 times they've beat the Raiders. Andy Reid has owned this division 25-3 since 2015. He knows how to beat them. And then the only road game is the Bears and Trubisky. You know, Trubisky's been playing well. The Bears have been playing well. He might actually be a fantasy option at this point. Serta, I'm going to default to you. Fantasy option, Mitch Trubisky. Threw for 244 and ran for 61. 3 touchdowns on Thursday night.
I've been joking around for the last 2 weeks because he's had back-to-back highly productive games that were very fantasy relevant. And I was joking around calling him a fantasy playoff god and stuff like that. Don't start Mitch Trubisky in your fantasy lineups. Please don't do it. I'm still trying to figure out how Spags, of all people, Spags, who career-wise seems like a kind of middling defensive coordinator. It's not like he's Wade Phillips or something, who is widely regarded as like one of the best defensive minds of a generation.
He's got hardware.
Spags is just a middling, kind of middle-of-the-road defensive coordinator, but for some reason, he gives the greatest defensive-minded head coach ever, One of the greatest quarterbacks ever. He just gives them all the problems in the world.
That's why he was hired here.
I don't understand it. It makes zero sense. But yeah, that's why he was brought in.
It's exactly why. This is a Brett Veach move that paid off, or Andy Reid move, if you want to say it was Andy Reid that brought in Spags, which you got to think there's a history there. And not only that, all these coaches had known each other at different times or worked with each other. There's a big you can connect the dots with all these coaches and Spagnuolo and his history and their history, you know, with Andy Reid. You can connect the dots on that. The other big thing was Mahomes and the hand. And we'll be following this closely. Here's Ian Rappaport this morning, NFL Network, about Mahomes. You saw him hurt his hand.
While another injury, somewhat concerning, Patrick Mahomes has a right hand injury. He actually got x-rays after the game. Sounded like those were negative, but he's going to have more tests today just to make sure there's no significant damage on that hand. You're seeing him hold it right there. He kind of fell on it awkwardly. This is something where there is optimism that he's going to be able to play next week. That is what the Chiefs think right now. But no one is absolutely sure until they get the results of these tests today.
Not sure until they get the results of the test today. We'll be locked in on that. Pete Sweeney will be heading out to Arrowhead Stadium, and we'll bring in the latest from Andy Reid with this press conference that he has today. And this is the only thing that matters right here. You know, the other injuries, that doesn't matter. Damian Williams, who cares? This Patrick Mahomes matters. Here's Patrick Mahomes after the game on hitting the ground weird with his hand.
I just kind of hit the ground weird when I was kind of throwing that ball away and got hit, got threw it away and got tackled right as I threw it away. And I knew something was wrong, but I didn't know for sure. And I tried to fire that next pass, and it didn't look too pretty. So I kind of just got to let the trainers look at it. They gave me the good to go. And so I went out there, battled, figured out ways to throw the ball across the middle and maybe not shoot those long shots that I usually throw, but enough to get them back and still score touchdowns.
Is there ever consideration you might come out of the game?
No, never. For me, I'm playing until they take me out.
Playing until they take me out. This guy's tough, man. He's not coming out. He wanted to come back in with this dislocated kneecap in Denver. This is how he rolls, man.
It doesn't feel great right now, but it's something that you play with. In this sport, you're going to get hurt. You're going to bang something. And so for me, it's about going out there and competing and relying on my teammates to help me out whenever I'm not feeling maybe 100%.
That is a defensive-minded mentality. That is a linebacker's mentality playing quarterback. Love it. You got to be a tough guy, man. It's like Brett Favre made all those consecutive starts. He's a tough guy. You know, I think Peyton Manning was a tough guy. Tom Brady's a tough guy. Until Bernard Pollard hit him where he couldn't play anymore in the knee. You know, it takes a tough guy to play the most important position in professional sports, and that's the quarterback. He's the reason why this division's not going anywhere. This division belongs to the Kansas City Chiefs. Belichick is a great mind, defensive mind. Did they fool Mahomes? They did. Just like when Hightower intercepted him last year in the regular season. You know, they fooled Mahomes. Then Mahomes throws in the double coverage here. He's throwing off the back foot a lot. I don't know if he's overcompensating with the ankle or the knee, but it hurt Mahomes is still better than other quarterbacks being healthy. He just is. But he threw in the double coverage and was picked off. Then they tried different things with Tyreek Hill. We saw a lot more of Tyreek Hill in the backfield. We saw in motion trying to get that mismatch, you know, trying to create space. Tyreek Hill's had a lot of success in the regular season against the Patriots. Didn't in the postseason because Belichick marked it to take him out. Belichick tried an interesting strategy yesterday, too. You surprised that Gilmore was on Watkins. Because we had talked all week, is Gilmore going to be on Hill? Is he going to bracket Kelsey? What's going to happen? Ended up being Sammy Watkins that was the guy. It was almost like being a goon in hockey. You know, he's getting up in Watkins' face? Because Watkins had that big game in the AFC title game. And Belichick wanted to make sure that didn't happen again. Then they got a little bit of scuffle on the sideline. And Watkins took him straight down and laid on top of him. Watkins a big dude, man. You surprised Gilmore was on Watkins?
Yeah, but I'm not shocked by it because I think that's just misdirection from Bill Belichick. That's him assuming we'll see this team again in the playoffs, and I don't want them to think that they know what I'm going to do on the defensive side of the ball. So in the postseason, it could easily be Gilmore on Kelsey.
It could be. I was actually expecting that to happen in this game. It didn't. They wanted to take Sammy Watkins out of this game. To me, that was gross mismanagement by Bill Belichick. He did some things in this game that are kind of head-scratchers.
See, I think he does everything for a reason.
But he does, but then again, he took two timeouts into the half. That was very un-Belichick-like, especially when you got Tom Brady. He actually thought that team was going to come back and win. He was feeling it. When you take two timeouts into the halftime, you feel like you've got it. But anyway, the Chiefs broke the Patriots. You ought to hear what they're saying. I'll bring you some of what they're saying out in Boston. It's not good. It's like Denver. The last time the Chiefs broke them, they were throwing a fit. Worst team ever. Elway's got to go. It broke them. Broke the New England Patriots. And this was going to be a spirit breaker for the Patriots. Their fans not liking this team at all. They're booing them, which is, okay, fans boo a lot. And the Patriots are getting a taste of what everybody else has been dealing with. But it's tough for me to boo a team that's been to 9 Super Bowls. It's tough to me to boo a team that's won 6 of them. And it's not like the Chiefs are chumps, man. It's not like the Chiefs are chumps that they're losing to. Belichick, though, he was asked about the booing at halftime.
Bill, I don't know if you heard it or if it would matter, but you actually got booed off the field at halftime, your offense anyway, at the end. Do you have any reaction to that, or does it bother you at all?
No, we're just trying to win games.
That's the guy we expect. Good old Belichick. But anyway, they were breaking down or melting down on WEI. We'll bring you that. Bill Barnwell of ESPN put out some huge numbers. And these should excite you about this defense, because there's some guys that earned some money in that game on Sunday. We talk defense next.
Middays, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending, 610 Sports Radio.
Welcome back, Jay Binkley, Steven Serta. Chiefs beat the Patriots yesterday. Sounds great, doesn't it? Just saying those words. Chiefs beat the Patriots yesterday. Spags. This is a deal paying off. The Breland's paying off. Bashad Breland was our AP player of the game last night. You know, great tackle, got the pick, made the play of the year for the Kansas City Chiefs. That was huge. Chris Jones made himself some money last night. I think Darwin Thompson in the passing game showed Andy Reid a little something that he'll step up to the challenge. Love the way he's protecting the football, too. Didn't want to make that mistake. But the final stop, Tony Romo, Jim Nantz, CBS.
Here we go. This is the game. Up the middle, the pass to the end zone, knocked down by Breland. Incomplete. Denying Edelman, denying the Patriots. They get to the right play, all out pressure. Spagnuolo game on the line. Brady was ready for it, blocked it up, and got it to his best player. Edelman one-on-one, the throw's there, and Breland with the play.
Say it.
Of the day right there with his finger coming right over the top.
Tony Romo's a coward. I don't know why he wouldn't just say it.
Romo.
Just say it, Tony.
What was he thinking? The player of the year in the NFL? It was clearly not, but a player of the year for the Kansas City Chiefs. This was it. Wasn't this? This was the player of the year for the Kansas City Chiefs, wasn't it? I mean, they've had some magical throws by Mahomes. They've done some things. Right there was the play of the game for the Kansas City Chiefs. Matter of fact, it kind of defines the identity of the Kansas City Chiefs, making big plays in big moments. Seriously, Steven, there's not a bigger play for the Kansas City Chiefs. I want to know what your thought is, text line, 69306. Would love to know what your play of the year for the Kansas City Chiefs is. I can't think of one. Can you think of one? Is there one defining play that you're thinking about? Saying no, that was it.
The touchdown pass from Mahomes to Hardman against the Ravens that really put them away.
Okay.
I know that Raven seems very different, but that's a defining play of this season for me.
It's defining, but
when I think about that, that's a play that pops into my head right away.
Top three. Belichick was thinking about that. He was talking about the Chiefs' speed. It is kind of the identity of the offense at team speed. I wish we got to see Hardman a little bit more. The one target, you know, quarterback's 153.6 rating when throwing to Hardman. This guy just gets touchdowns. You know, 2 yards more per reception than any player in the National Football League. He might be the secret weapon going forward. You know, it's a guy they have to count for. I heard Belichick, and listen, I listened to everything he said last week. He actually talks a lot. He talks for 17 minutes in his press. There's not much in there, but he talks. I listened to his radio interview on WEEI. He's got this coffee talk with Zolak. He's got this film breakdown stuff. I mean, seriously, he's all over their website. He does this film breakdown stuff. Watch that. He brought up Hardman several times. He brought up Hardman and McCoy and Kelsey. And Tyreek Hill and the team speed. That's what he was concerned about. This morning on Good Morning Football, it leads me to this. Steve Spagnuolo.
Now, last year when these teams played, the Chiefs' defense couldn't stop anything. Remember the playoff game? They just couldn't get that final stop. And whether D4 was offsides or not, they gave up all those points. So what they do this offseason, they completely scrapped their defense. They fired Bob Sutton, the defensive coordinator. They hired Spags. And they have all these new, there are 8 new defensive starters on defense. 8. That is to every team out there whose roster is just completely stagnant and says, well, that's what we got. Frank Clark did an amazing thing yesterday. Frank Clark was sick all week. He was in the hospital at one point. He had a stomach virus. He lost 12 pounds since Monday. Huh? Has IVs throughout the game. Goes out there, gets the sack, makes the play. I give credit to Brett Veach, Brant Tillis, that entire front office, because it's one thing to say, oh, we got to the AFC Championship game. Let's do it again. No, it's nothing to say. Let's get above that. Let's get better. 8 new defensive starters, rookies, veterans, Frank Clark, Honey Badger. It's a completely different defense, and they were the ones who won that game last night.
Peter Schrager, Good Morning Football. Finally talking Chiefs without talking Mahomes. This is a new narrative. Steve Spagnuolo, the new scheme, the new players, you know, bringing in the Honey Badger, that attitude, making the secondary better, Frank Clark coming in here. And I think the momentum swung now where people say, you know what? Because D Ford, he can't get healthy to be active. I think people now are looking at, man, Frank Clark, you know, setting that edge, you know, tackle. I asked Desmond Moses, who played with the Chiefs. And I said, all right, because he played with D. Ford. He loves D. Ford and his ability to get to the quarterback. But I said, and he even picked the Patriots. It wasn't a homer thing here with Desmond Moses. He's very honest. He doesn't work for the Chiefs, doesn't work for us, doesn't work for anybody. And he's very honest about it. And he said, no, I understand the Frank Clark move. He sets that edge. He's better against the run. You know, it's a guy that played that position. And he's like, no, I understand what they're doing. Listen to these numbers. Serta retweeted this from Bill Barnwell. That's Steven Serta. And I was looking at this, and I was like, whoa, that's incredible. We already knew what Tom Brady, under pressure this year, his quarterback rating was 49%. Compared to last year, under pressure, he was somewhere, his quarterback rating about 79%, 79-80. So he was relatively efficient when facing pressure last year. And this year, the numbers or analytics would indicate Tom Brady not so good under pressure. And you saw what happened yesterday with the pressure. Spags was sending the kitchen sink. And at times, yes, it did leave an Edelman open. That's going to happen when you empty it out and you blitz the Badger like he did, or Sorensen, what he did. But the good news is they were still hitting Tom Brady. Even though they were hitting him right after he threw, but they were hitting him, making him think about it. You know, Chris Jones in his face. That's what they have to do. You have to have a touch of nasty. You got to be those dogs. But Andy Reid, now a 17.5% chance of finishing with the first round bye, according to Bill Barnwell. But here's the money quote. Well, Spags' famous game plan in the Super Bowl against Brady 12 years ago was to rush 4 and drop 7 in the coverage. The Chiefs went with a totally different game plan for stretches on Sunday. They blitzed on 43.9% of pass dropbacks and got pressure on Brady 41.5% of the time. That's the highest pressure rate for any team in any game against Brady in the Patriots this season. No other team had topped 30.8. Again, 41.5% of the time pressure on Brady. No team had got a higher pressure rate than 30.8 against Tom Brady. This was clearly the directive. This is clearly what Spags wanted to do. Spags knows how to get inside Tom Brady's head, and he went out and did it. This should make us happy for the Chiefs. Again, we can look at it two ways. And if you don't believe in excuses, I call them realisms. The last couple of weeks, sometimes you have to look at the time, the place, what happened. It's like looking at DVOA. You have to consider, is the 3rd and 5 run more important at the end of the game or at the beginning of the game? Where is it more important? The weather, other factors in it? You have to include different factors in the game. I included altitude. I included wind. And he's not 100%. We know this. I think the play calling definitely switched. Andy Reid's got to be more aggressive. I think we can all agree with that. I think he would even agree with that. Aggressive at times, but I thought the play calls were conducive to a quarterback that wasn't 100%. But certainly, when you look at those numbers, and he even retweeted it, 41.5% pressure on Brady. That's a significant jump from 30.8%. That is a significant jump by Steve Spagnuolo. If I'm Brady or Belichick, I don't want to see Spags anymore.
I don't think that they're afraid of seeing anybody.
Oh, they don't like Spags.
But I mentioned it last week, too. This is arguably the worst offensive line that Brady's ever played behind. Like, they've been... One thing that maybe has been underrated about Belichick is that they just let offensive linemen walk. And these guys look like they're supposed... Like, you know, they go to other teams and they get high-end left tackle, right tackle contracts and stuff like that. And they wind up being huge flops. Their offensive line this year is bad. And Spags was doing a lot of creative stuff.
Pressure-wise, sack-wise, yes. They're 25th in the NFL. They hadn't given up much, and the Chiefs were able to get to them 3 times. They only given up 22 sacks all year.
Spags was doing a lot of creative stuff. Like, he deserves a ton of credit. And they went out and they rebuilt the whole defensive line, and they rebuilt the whole pass rush outside of Chris Jones. And it was specifically for games like yesterday.
Well, I'm with you. The text line's complaining about the officiating, about the Mahomes play where he was hit late. Yes, he was hit late. Should have been flagged. Again, if that's Tom Brady. Pat Mahomes doesn't get the Brady calls yet. He will. He just doesn't get them yet. That was bad. The Winovich, because he put his body into him. That's the definition of the rule. I'm not a fan of the rule, but that is the rule. You can't put your body weight on a quarterback. They have changed the rule up. That was a clear violation of the rule. By definition, That was what's not in the books this year in the NFL. I'm with you guys on that. There was three times. How many times did you count Jerome Boger picking up the flag? Have you seen, I mean, it was like three, four times where he goes, there's no penalty on the play. That was ridiculous. Jerome Boger, like, screwed that up.
It was bad, but we do this every week where we focus on one specific game and say it's the worst officiating that I have ever seen in my life. Officiating across the NFL right now is awful. But that's just the way the game is right now. It's frustrating. It sucks. I'm tired of seeing it every week. But the owners kind of brought that on themselves by continuing to fold under pressure to change the rules and piss off the referees. These referees, like the pass interference reviews and stuff like that, they're just openly going against it because they don't want to do it because they know it's ridiculous and they know that fans hate it. That's why it's impossible to even get these things overturned.
No, I'm with you. Jerome Boger, bad game. I just still remember when the officials went on strike and we had to replace some refs. Everybody wanted them back. Be careful what you wish for. I look back at the you know, the replacement refs, and I'm not 100% sure they did a worse job than what we're seeing right now, to be quite honest with you. Every week we're talking about this. If for the Patriots, that's all they were doing was crying about calls. This is the same team that the Cowboys, on a 3rd and 1, in a crucial part of the game, were called for tripping on Travis Frederick. That wasn't tripping. That the NFL came back and said there was 2 tripping calls the next day. It doesn't do any good. The Patriots don't care. They're the beneficiary of a lot of what happens in these games. Chris Jones, I thought, really stepped up. Kind of a money game for him. What do you do in the situation? Again, I've seen a different Chris Jones. I mean, we know Chris Jones is good. We know Chris Jones had 15 and a half sacks. We know Chris Jones behind Aaron Donald right now, in my opinion, of being the best defensive lineman in the NFL. But I've noticed at his press conference, he's just been different this year. He's still happy-go-lucky, still a fun guy, but he's focused and serious. He really is. This is Chris Jones after the game, courtesy of Harold Koontz from Fox 4.
Together, I mean, I feel like we've been together this whole year. We just had to make some corrections, some errors, and play disciplined football. I mean, I feel like progressing in the right direction right now as a defense collectively. We got to continue, though. We gave up 16 points on the road. I feel like we can get better off of that. We got to look at film, see where we made the mistakes. I feel like they ran a couple jet sweeps on us, especially in the red zone right there. So we got to get better at those things. We got to focus on it.
He's mad about giving up 16 points on the road. I love that. I love that attitude. And right now the Chiefs are 14th in the NFL. They've now climbed into the top half of points against on the season. It's where you wanted them. So we said, just be top half of points against. Right now they are. They're 14th. Not only that, but another part of this game that you got to consider, Belichick had to resort to trick plays. That's a good sign for your defense when the other offense is resorting to flea flickers. That's how Edelman got that first touchdown, the flea flicker. Then we saw the James White pass. That was James White that threw that ball, and then I think it was James White that ended up throwing that football. Nice pass by him. Caught us off guard. No question about it. But when you resort to trick plays, it means that the defense is not yielding. You've got to resort to these type of plays to get the job done. And that's what I saw. Then after the game, and this sucks, the NFL's doing this. The shirts, the West is not enough. That's a perfect motto for the Kansas City Chiefs, to be honest with you. That's the one that I felt. No one cares about AFC West hats. You don't care about the shirts. Well, actually, some of you might be out buying them today, so I should stand corrected. I won't buy it. Steve won't buy it. People won't buy it. Because it's not enough just to win the AFC West. It doesn't do you any good. It doesn't do you any good at all, but the West is not enough. Because, see, the Saints were the same thing. The South is not enough. That's the shirts they got. I like the creativity, but, I mean, I loved it for the Chiefs. But, again, this isn't – I mean, we had some call. You know, I love this. Well, they're all doing it. They're all doing it. Could have sold some T-shirts if that was just the Chiefs' motto. Couldn't they have? The West is not enough? I loved it. Except they're all doing it.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
Yeah, they're all doing it. The South is not enough.
Sure, you can rally around it like it's a big motivational motto. But, yeah, every team does something
like that. It's like the Patriots were in the East is not enough. Come on, man. It's not going to happen. WEI, like, huh?
Like when Tom Brady kept saying everybody was counting them out.
Oh, that's Edelman,
everybody
too.
Had written them off.
Edelman, too, yeah. Nobody likes us. They were playing that card last year. Love it. I love it when everybody's counting the Patriots out. No, but they want to pour dirt on them. I just think it prolonged the inevitable when they won that game in the AFC title game, prolonged the inevitable of people getting upset with them. WEI, this is a great call. Steve, and I love it. They were trying to ask him a question, and he wouldn't answer it. Like, the host of the postgame show on WEI, we're trying to ask him a question. I love these postgame shows. These are fun. When the Chiefs beat somebody, I got to listen to some of these. It's the Chiefs break their spirit. I mean, I always go back after, you know, I do the postgame here with Pete Sweeney, but I go back and listen to it if it's, you know, merits listening to. Like the Broncos, I really wanted to hear it, and I loved it. Loved every second of it because colors were so down on the Denver Broncos. It's like you broke their spirits. New England was booing. They're not happy. The Chads, the wicked smart people, not happy about the New England Patriots. Steve wasn't happy either.
The Patriots always get the calls. They're whining that they didn't get the calls this time.
That's what a lot of people say. Let's try Steve in Fall River one more time. Steve, you awake this time?
I'm awake.
How's your nap? Go, brother.
You said there's trust issues that Brady has. I have some trust issues with whoever's drafting these people. My last three number one picks, N'Keal Harry, Isaiah Wynn, and Sony Michel, all on offense.
Yep.
What did you get out of these guys today? What have you gotten out of them all season? This is a disaster. It's a disaster.
Touchdown that wasn't called.
Yeah, you don't trust Bill's drafting and
personnel. I've never trusted Bill's drafting.
Why not? What didn't you like about it?
We're last in the league in tight end.
I'm talking about over the years. What didn't you like about Bill Belichick? You said you didn't like him from the beginning. What don't you like about his roster building? The championships?
It's terrible.
You don't like the championships?
Steve, I'm not going to debate those three first round draft picks. I'm not going to debate. Steve, calm down. Okay, you weren't awake the first time. Now you're awake and just relax.
Sounds like
I would agree with you that there are a lot of draft picks that you can question with Bill Belichick, as you can with most people who draft out there. I would say on the whole.
He's got a special.
He has been the best roster builder in the National Football League.
Is that not
and
true?
I hate to tell you, but 17 or 18 years ago when you were calling, you said the Patriots run is over and they suck. 20 years into it, Steve. You've been wrong, 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 and wrong again.
Let me say two things.
Give me some specifics first, Steve. Hold on a second.
I'm going to ask you
some very, very simple questions.
Steve lost credibility 17 years.
Just some simple questions. He is a terrible roster builder, correct?
Yep.
Okay, good. So that means he must be the most unbelievably magnificent coach in the history of any coaching ever in the history of the world of any sport ever.
Right.
Because he surrounds themselves with inferior players.
Let me ask you a question.
Well, I'm asking you. I'm asking you first.
You can't answer your question.
What has been the result of his poor drafting and roster building? What's been the result?
Steve,
that's a simple question. What has been the result?
I'm going to tell you two things.
I love this, man. This is where they're at now. It's roster construction with the Patriots. This is what this team's at. Steve couldn't answer the question. He was asked the question, what the results were. You went to 9 Super Bowls in 20 years. You won 6 of them. That's the result, Steve. But this is where they're at. The Patriots are questioning the direction they're going. They're now questioning roster construction after losing to the Chiefs. Like, that'd be the last call I think you'd take, wouldn't it?
Well, no, that's just fans in general. Like, no fan base is above this. How many times have you heard ridiculous phone calls on our postgame
show?
Every week. It happens every week. No fan is above this. No fan base is above this. That's why I don't like the, you know, they were booing Tom Brady and Bill Belichick at the game. Chiefs fans do stuff like that. Patriots fans got in a fight because they were so mad that they lost that game yesterday. They were fighting each other.
Oh, I've seen the fire Andy
Reid.
I've
seen at Arrowhead Stadium. I've been to probably 40 Chiefs games in my life. You know how many fights I've seen at Arrowhead Stadium between Chiefs fans? Every fan base does this. No fan base is above this. So, yes, we can point the finger and we can make fun of them. That's perfectly fine after you beat their team. But let's stop trying to act like we're above all of this.
But it's fun to make fun of them, isn't it? It's fun to make fun of those that think you can't make fun of them.
Sure.
Again, they're like
because
everybody else and they don't realize
you can't.
It. Fans love the boo. But, I've seen the fire Andy Reid. I've seen those. Again, he's six all time now and wins. I mean, it's unbelievable. And I think, you know, that ring, I was thinking about that yesterday. You know, Kelsey's close to that, 1,000-yard mark between, he's close to that as far as the only tight end in history of the NFL to have four straight 1,000-yard seasons. It's unbelievable what he's been able to do. And the ring would matter. He's at 989. 75 catches for 989. So just one more catch for 11 yards, and boom, he's over 1,000 yards. No tight end's ever done that in history. I looked at maybe a legacy-defining game there, if the Chiefs can capitalize this and win a ring. But you got to think, Kelsey's a fringe Hall. I think Kelsey ends up in Canton. I really do. And I think Andy Reid ends up there as well. But we have to be cautious with it. Remember, Monty Schottenheimer's not there. And I think that ring does matter. But you get that ring, you're in. If Kelsey gets that ring, is he a Hall of Famer? I think the argument...
Yeah. I mean, the argument for Kelsey to be in the Hall of Fame is much better than the argument for Julian Edelman to be in the Hall of Fame. And people have been arguing about whether or not Julian Edelman's a Hall of Famer for like 3 years for whatever reason.
And that's the difference between football and baseball. Remember he was suspended? He was suspended. But it doesn't matter in football, right? You can get there. It's the difference between baseball and football. But legacy-defining game for Kelsey, legacy-defining season for Pat Mahomes. You know, he got off, you know, Deshaun Watson, Lamar Jackson. He's tired of the noise. And he still hears the noise. He did throw for over 280 yards in this game with that hand against the number two pass defense in the NFL. Patriots got an interception. They have 21 interceptions now. They came into that game five more than the Pittsburgh Steelers. Five more than anybody else in the NFL was that. But Travis Kelce gets that mark. No tight ends ever have it. Great old Greg Olsen's the other tight end that had three straight for 1,000. That streak was broken, but he got the three. Travis Kelce has the three. That's an incredible account. I mean, it's incredible. At the tight end position, because he's redefined, and Tony Gonzalez helped redefine, Antonio Gates helped redefine the position, but Kelsey's just taken it to another level. Not only that, his blocking has gotten so much better. I mean, that was another thing with Desmond Moses, because he saw him every day in practice. He goes, man, his blocking's gotten so much better. He's become that. Then Andy Reid had a little trick play of himself. Travis Kelce running the football in. Travis Kelce with a little bit of zone read. You know, zone read. I love that play. That might be your answer to short yardage right there. I'm thinking Belldozer, but, you know, Kelsey can get the job done. 6'5", 260 pounds. I love the creativity by Andy Reid, and I loved what he was doing. But those plays right there, and again, the Patriots tried two of those. But the bottom line is they beat the Patriots. That was the team. That was the team. This is the game we circled at the beginning of the year. You're going to play New England in New England. It was about winning this game, getting over that hump, getting over the amazing hump of the New England Patriots. And they did it on the road. 21 straight games they'd won in that house. Yes, they lost on the road twice to good teams, good quarterbacks. They did beat the Bills on the road. But I'll say this, they got to play the Bills again on the 21st. I think that's going to be a big, huge game. The Bills thought they should have beat the Patriots the first time. They had Matt Barkley in that game throwing 16 passes. Because Josh Allen was hurt. And Josh Allen, by the way, wasn't good against the Ravens. You know, he did not carry any mojo from that Cowboys game going forward. But there they were, you know, hanging in there. And we'll talk about the AFC coming up in just a minute. Some of the wacky things that happened and why the Texans really disappointed against the Denver Broncos this weekend. But that was the hump. Steve Spagnuolo hired for this game. We thought about making Spags the player of the game. We really did. It came down to Steve Spagnuolo should be our player of the game. Pete and I sat there and debated it. The only reason he wasn't, because he's not a player. But I felt he deserved it.
Just break the rules.
I thought that might have been a rule breaking. Like, that would have been appropriate. Steve Spagnuolo, player of the game. Is that who you would have given it to? I had to give it to Breland. We had to give it to Breland. Breland made the play of the year.
Yeah, I think
it you make the play of the year, you get it. You get Edelman, Brady-Edelman combination. Could be a Canton combination. We know Brady's going. Edelman is questionable, to say the least, to get there. But then he was throwing to his guy, Julian Edelman. There's Breland knocking the ball down. Play of the year for the Kansas City Chiefs. No question about it. No other play was as important as what Breland did there. Breland had the pick. He had the tackle. And this tackling was crazy. This defensive line, in what they're doing. They were more physical. Like going forward, they're taking the fight to the other team. Not only that, I felt the Chiefs changed the script in this game. To me, Belichick wanted to make this Princeton basketball. He wanted to slow it down. They slowed it down with the Texans, and Deshaun Watson maximized his opportunities because that's what he does. They maximized their opportunities. The Patriots had the ball 10 more minutes, 29 first downs to just 16 first downs of the Texans. That's how they won the play. Slow the game down. They weren't able to in this game. Chiefs had the ball 9 more minutes. The Chiefs were the team with ball control. The Chiefs were the team winning time of possession. They flipped the script. It was about keeping Tom Brady on the sideline. Not only that, New England came into the game 39% on third down. The Chiefs didn't let them take an advantage on third down. They brought the heat. They brought the kitchen sink. They blitzed Tom Brady. Again, 41.5 pressure rate on Tom Brady in this game. The highest on him all year was 30.8%. 11.5 points higher. Steve Spagnuolo. That was the way to get to Tom Brady. Put a hat on him. Put pressure. Yes, no quarterback likes pressure. Brady especially hates it. He's not used to it. He starts barking at his receivers. He gets mad. He gets frustrated. You saw his look on the sideline. That game meant something to Brady. Just like when he scrambled and got that first down. All that emotion he was showing. I mean, he was letting it out. He was feeling himself. You know, he was wiping off the haters in that moment. I've never seen him act like that. He picked the first down with his legs. Like, that's the one guy they never expected to go out and run, and I get that. I wouldn't expect that either, but he did it. He got up, and he was, man, he was fired up.
He just doesn't do that either. No. That's how you knew he was desperate. And
desperate.
They needed to make something happen because he doesn't do that.
No, he doesn't. And at that moment, I was like, man, does this game and the haters mean something to Tom Brady? And again, this team's going all in. I don't think they think Brady's coming back. That's why they gave up so much for Mohamed Sanu. You know, they looked at the window of opportunity here for the Patriots. But that's the team, man. Get that team over with. Can you imagine if the Ravens hadn't taken the next step yet, what this AFC would be? It would be, once again, the Chiefs and the Patriots is the only conversation. But now the Ravens have to be part of this conversation. The Ravens have to be that team that maybe we look at more than New England Patriots. Explain more of that next.
Middays, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending, 610 Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.